You're listening to The Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Good morning. This is The Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio. Hey, Jim.
Hey.
6:03 on Saturday, the sixth day of AirVenture Oshkosh 2024. It's been a heck of a run so far, but we're not done yet. That's for sure.
We got a big weekend.
Very big weekend. Night air show tonight, obviously.
Right.
Two other day air shows. Today and
Sunday. Okay. Yeah. You meant like today. I'm like, how are we doing that?
No. I'm okay. Remember when I was talking about the rest of AirVenture?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. That. I was trying to bend time and space and make that work somehow.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor Who. I'm working on I don't know what. So Theater in the Woods last night was a lot of NASA. Mm-hmm. A lot of talk about the Artemis missions. Really cool lineup. If you didn't see it, they ran until, I don't know, around 9 o'clock or so.
Right.
A lot of aircraft in the air show last night, or yesterday, I should say. Particularly a lot of military aircraft up front.
Yeah.
Kept hearing a lot of them. Went to a forum right around the beginning, and there were a lot of pauses in the forum.
Yeah.
But the Snowbirds yesterday as well, which is... I'm gonna betray my military here for a minute, but I think maybe my favorite demo team.
Yeah, it's different than what we come to expect.
If you're listening.
Well, it's different than what we come to expect from military teams.
I think that may be a good part of it. So,
and it always has been. The Snowbirds specifically stand out in that way, that they're a very well choreographed ballet in the air.
Yes.
Not busting your eardrums kind of things with breakneck speed, which is also cool sometimes, but
they're going slow enough to to stay in my line of sight when they're doing things.
Yeah.
There's also 9 of them.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to watch because it's bigger than, you know, any of the teams that we have here in the States.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy it anyway. I
think they, of course, carry 10 ships with them.
Yep.
One of them, ship 10, parked down in Vintage because of the age of the aircraft.
Nice.
May be required to fly the show tonight.
Very cool.
There was a problem with one of the other aircraft that... all the teams have that. They carry a spare exactly for that purpose. And of course, this has caused many more conversations about why is this national military team flying ancient aircraft comparatively? You know,
cheaper. I don't know.
Well, okay,
different.
Imagine trying to fly that show in a F-18. Yeah, we saw the Canadians in their F-18. That was part of the show last night.
Yeah. The box would be the entire grounds.
yeah. And it would turn into a Blue Angels look-alike kind of situation. And the Snowbirds are not that.
Correct.
That aircraft fits their show just perfectly. So.
Sorry, I see balloons.
Yeah, so I was chatting with somebody down at the Fun Fly Zone and mentioned that this might be my fault, and I'm kind of hating it for it, but the balloons are not a 7 a.m. thing that has been on the schedule the whole time. It is a 6 a.m. item.
Ah.
So we've been just ignoring it because it was wrong on the schedule. So they fixed that, and you know what that means?
We're not the first thing.
We're not the first thing listed anymore. It's the balloon lodge.
Well, I mean, I can fix that. I could rename our show A Morning Pre-Flight.
Yes, then it would work.
Then alphabetically, we win. We win. Darn it.
Yes, but there is colorful balloons popping up down in the ultralight fun fly zone area on the south end of the field.
Yeah, very cool. There's at least 2 up already. There looks like they're inflating 2 more, maybe.
I see at least 2.
Yeah.
2 up, 2 down.
Very cool.
I say south end of the field, but I think the people in the South 40 would contend otherwise.
They would beg to differ for sure. They're a lot further down there.
It just keeps going, you know.
I mean, it's cool to see because, you know, even in the short time, relatively, that I've been coming here, you know, a good 15 plus years where I've been camping on the grounds the full time, Yeah, it's that South 40 has exploded.
All right.
Including, you know, their own store down there and lots of improvements every year. So,
right.
Always cool to see.
Here's a only an Oshkosh kind of story from last night for me.
What's up?
I need a Zeus fastener for my cowling on my aircraft.
Let's pause for just a moment.
Yes.
Pretend I don't know a darn thing about general aviation aircraft. And, you know, just, you know, for the sake of the audience, I mean.
Right, right, right. okay, a Zeus fastener.
Yeah.
Think of it like a twist lock kind of fastener. It uses a wire and two hooks that hook into it.
Okay.
I'm doing a thing for the cameras right here.
Yes.
So
I'm not sure you should show that to the cameras, but yeah.
Well, it's better than screws that go. Okay.
Got it. Anyway. Thank you. Thank you.
The Zeus,
YouTube's gonna ban us.
I need a Zeus fastener that has a butterfly top on it because it's for a cover that goes on my cowling, and it's coming. It's worn and needs to be replaced on my aircraft. So I go shopping here as you do, and I go to one of the hardware dealers in the fly market, and I'm like, all right, I need this. They're like, here it is, and there's a wall of 50 of them. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's small differences in sizes and depths and, length of the shank on the one side.
So you have no idea what...
I'm like, I think it's this, and I think it's that. And I'm like,
did you just buy one of each, or what?
I was about to do that, and I'm like, wait a minute. I just need to have an example to compare to.
Okay.
So last
you just
night,
go rob a 172?
Last night, I went down to Vintage... And Vintage Camping, and was going along on Whitman Road, looking up and down every aisle until I found a 1968 Cessna 172. And I'm like, you. So then I went over and talked to the guy, started, you know, shooting the breeze with him, and told him what I was looking for, and can I open this hatch on your aircraft so I can take a look at this and measure it, and... Of course, I was measuring it with my finger because I didn't have any tools to do so.
I was going
to
say, were you carrying a caliper? Or,
no,
you
know? I did the old hold your finger up against it and take a picture trick.
Yeah. I was going to say something that would have been terrible.
Fair. And figured out exactly which one of these things. And now, later this afternoon, we go back to the fly market and buy the right part. So it's like, I need something that is identical to my aircraft to, you know, take a picture of and measure from. Let's just drive over here.
Banana for scale.
Right? And then on the same field, go shopping to find the part that you need to do the thing. So
that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. I do a lot of...
Oh, very Oshkosh.
It's extremely Oshkosh.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, that was that was my adventures of last night. As I was doing that on the way to the final... Twilight Flight Fest last night. We had
I was going to ask how that went.
It went.
Family. Is it Family Flight Fest?
It's the Twilight Flight Fest.
Twilight
Fest. I think. Twilight Flight
Every
Fest.
Every year I do this, but yes. Twilight Flight.
At the Fun Fly Zone.
Twilight Flight Fest.
Yes.
J-Mont also has struggles saying that, by the way, and challenged, I can't remember the gentleman's name down there, to say it. Five times fast.
So their staff liaison that you had on the air?
Yes.
That's Bogenhagen.
Yeah. Tim?
Yeah.
Tim. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Tim Bogenhagen. Yes.
Yeah. Phlegm in my throat this morning. It's lovely. Anyway. I challenged him to say it a couple times fast. And, of course, he obliged. And then Jeff was like, oh.
I had him convinced.
Story. Cool story, bro.
I had him convinced once that I had
Tim or J-Mont?
Tim.
Okay.
That I loved the concept of the electric light sport aircraft items out there. That's why I named my youngest child Elsa, ELSA, and he completely bought it. That's so cool. You know, I've known like five different Pipers, which is true. Most of which have been named after their aircraft, and that's a joke, buddy. Come on,
it would have been.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you're good at that anyway, BSing, let's say. Two, I wouldn't put it above you to do that. So.
Fair. Probably in Nick's break, we'll talk about some of this other stuff from the Twilight Flight Fest at the Fun Fly Zone.
Yeah, it seemed very cool. I did not get down there this year, which is first year in a while that I haven't, so...
They, you know, of course,
it's always a good time.
They only run that during times when they have good weather,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're doing some stuff that requires a very limited wind window,
mm-hmm.
And good ceilings and such. And, you know, they don't do it on the nights that we have the big night show. Mm-hmm. So this year there was really two good performances of the Twilight Flight Fest, and last night was one of those. And we have some evidence to prove it.
So. Very cool. Very cool. All right, we'll talk about more about that after the break. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Hey, Jim, what do you want to do this morning?
The same thing we do every morning, Tommy. Talk and hope we're not heard.
It's here the very day. The cranky they complain. They try to entertain us, a hopeless campaign. Each day they're all the dice, and then we hail twice. Our daily dose of pain, 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 pain.
Yep.
Your daily dose of pain, the Morning Pre-Flight. Tommy and Jim with you this morning. 6:18. I would tell you what the temperature is, but I open the window and there's too much glare.
I will tell you that it's 58 degrees.
50? Is it really?
Yeah.
I think that's the chilliest it's been, at least that I can recall seeing at this time of morning.
Well, no. Yesterday's 54.
Really?
So, yeah.
Goodness.
And we're still consistently busting the... temperatures to be lower than predicted just about every time.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's... And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining in the least.
No, this has been amazing.
But the overnight lows have been consistently lower than predicted by... yesterday, they missed it by 12 degrees, which I've never seen a temperature prediction be off that far.
Goodness.
So, anyway...
I mean, I'll take it. I'm just like I'm going to be punished on Monday morning trying to set up, as is. They're looking at storms on Monday all day. Although they have, as Pat St. John did point out, they have pushed back from, you know, Sunday night into Monday morning. So
yeah,
they can push to Monday afternoon and feel pretty good about all this.
There is a chance Sunday afternoon as well. So 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Yes.
The current Monday update is possibly rain at 5 and 6 a.m. and then a break till noon.
On Monday?
Yeah.
I would take that.
Us campers really want that with our tents.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was Andrea, by the way, working the booth. So.
Yes.
The disembodied voice in the wind tunnel. I think the air conditioner is hitting the mic where you have it now.
I don't know if it's even the air conditioner or if it's the switches behind her. I think it's the switches behind her that we're hearing.
Yeah.
So, well, network switches.
Small building, small problems.
Exactly. Speaking of small things.
Going back to measuring your finger? Or
other things.
Okay.
The ultralight runway area.
Yes.
The Fun Fly Zone, as they call it.
Yeah.
And the Twilight Flight Fest.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, again, only had a couple of those shows, and we wanted to try and get some good shots of this stuff, and we've been struggling to get people down there. Two of our folks got inside the fence to do some video and photography work.
Very cool.
And... It was very impressive. Some of the stuff that we got there, we'll be posting that on our social media here sometime during the day. And I don't know if Gavin has had the time to try and load up any of the material from last night yet. But I mean, we got lots of good shots, lots of good material. And they had their remember we were trying to describe that one aircraft that we couldn't think of before. Yeah, it's there. It's the pivotal from opener, and I don't know if it is the one that was previously known as Black Fly, but
I think it's the, and I'm, don't quote me on this, but I think it is like the evolution of that one.
Sure, sure. So I'm told by Gavin that the footage is on the stream. I'm just not catching it quite yet.
Well, there is a delay between there.
Yeah, but nonetheless, the Pivotal aircraft did their flight demo, which we also had the opportunity to fly the flight the flight sim.
That's definitely the one that was, you know, part of the evolution of the Black Fly.
Yeah, yeah. But they've got a very accurate flight sim that they actually use for training people that buy them.
That's awesome.
And yes, you can put money down on one today, as very, it turns out. Cool. But it was definitely interesting to see those things fly and see what they're doing. It's cool. the next evolution of this kind of technology that I'm sure is only going to get bigger and better.
Yep.
So, but that was happening down there, and then of course the STOL competition. They had the various, you know, size aircraft doing that, including things that are, you know, I'll call it gym size, you know, STOL aircraft. So that was cool. And the RCs.
Always cool.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
cool.
Everything from the cool and graceful to the physics breaking helicopters that do things that just shouldn't happen in the air.
Yep. So. But no drones. Here's why I say that, because Jima thought they had drones down there yesterday on the show, and Tim was very quick to point out they didn't have drones. But he also didn't acknowledge the RCs.
There's RC's stuff there. So.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yes, but no.
We're parsing words on that one. Yeah. So,
I agree. But yeah, no, it was really interesting being down there yesterday, and I really wish I would have got down there in the evening. Just have Jamont slide a show to a night show, and then I can wander over there.
Right. But that was cool. I, you know, brought some AirVenture noob people down to
very cool
break their brain on some of the stuff that they're doing over there.
Yep. Cool.
Down in that same zone, for the ultralight runway area, we have four balloons of varying sizes that are fully inflated for their ground display.
There's five, actually. There's a fifth one they were working on in a different shot.
Right, so, right.
But yeah, no, there's four all the way up already.
Mm-hmm. The three that's on the left there, I've not seen up yet.
Which? There.
The three on the left.
All three of them?
Yeah. They've been part of the other displays that I've been seeing.
So. I really want that third one or second from the right one to be a Spider-Man head or something, but I don't think it's going to be. It looks very like that, kind of web covering, sort of. Cool. Speaking of Jamont, we're going to be out at the seaplane base today, so come on out and see us. We'll be there from 1 to 2 p.m. today, broadcasting live, or you can catch us on the air. If you haven't been to the seaplane base, get down there. It's very cool, very different, but, you know, threads the same, obviously, as here. It's a lot quieter. It's a lot slower pace. It's very beautiful. A lot of still a lot of planes there.
Should take your own advice there, buddy, and, you know, join us for the waterman feed someday.
Excuse me.
You know,
I was out there long before you were out there this week, and I'm going to be out there again when you're not going to be out there.
Yeah, so. Well, I come to Oshkosh in February, but that doesn't count as being here, so
I'm just saying. No, I was there during the event. Thank you very much.
During the Waterman social?
No, I said during the event.
All right. So you'll be there, we just won't be social. Got it.
I have an idea. Next year, you're going to stay here and run the board, and I'm going to go to the Night Air Show, and I'm going to go to the Twilight Flight Fest, and I'm going to go to the Watermelon Social, and you could sit here for all three of them.
Plenty of people that would cover
it. That many people that would cover it for us. Most everybody wanted to go last night, so, which I get, you know.
There were four staff people back here.
Three. And one of them is my wife, and you keep leaving that out.
also facts. Still right, can make then. It happen. Regardless. But yes, the Watermelon Social was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We
heard they gave away a puzzle this year. That was the big news I got from her.
It wasn't just t-shirts and cups, man.
They had a puzzle.
Yeah. It was actually a very nice puzzle, just for the record.
I'm sure.
But, no, you go out there and hang out and have some good food and get the commemorative mug. And there was a 206 that was giving rides of some sort repeatedly. So you had the big growling engine, you know, taking off, and then when he would come back in, he made sure to make a low approach to the grounds on his way in.
That's cool, though. So, speaking of the seaplane base, I saw it turned into the boat show out there. Because at least according to social media, I saw a bunch of pictures of people on pontoons. So
yep, yeah, they did the harbor tour.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. It's a cool place. Mm-hmm. Please get out there if you haven't. You're doing yourself a disservice.
I agree.
If you want to chime in this morning, 920-550-1210. You can text us directly or join the YouTube chat. youtube.com/EAA radio. All one word. And you can join in. Chime in right in the studio. Both of those ways you can contact us directly. So that's all day with our programming, all the shows that are in the studio.
And of course, things going on at the forums all day and workshops. I'm so threatening to go poke around at some of those things. They're so close here, and I keep forgetting to literally walk out my back door and into that. But
I made it a point to go see our very own Fareed Gio's forum, where he participated in a panel forum, I should say, on the Pilot's mental health campaign. Really interesting, really good stories, really positive direction it looks like the whole effort is going. Yeah. So it's nice.
Well,
to
it's
see.
Going somewhere, and that in and of itself is a
which,
success.
Based on the stories and the testimonials that we heard, is a vast difference from the past. So, Fareed was probably the most fortunate in this process, as he was describing, and his process took well over 30 months to resolve. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a tricky landscape to navigate. So,
And that, of course, is just one of several. Forums and workshops and things like that that were happening, just even on that topic. So
I can imagine it's important and needs to be addressed. So
there.
News is up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Pre-Flight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
I'm sad now.
Oh, you broke your device?
I broke my toy.
Did I show you what happened to me in the fly market? Remember I said I was shopping for parts?
Yeah.
So I set my phone down to go grab something else.
Oh, I see. Ooh.
And another
That's
person,
a big old crack.
Yeah. Thank you.
put your pants back on. No, in his phone. That is a huge crack.
Yeah. Somebody grabbed something next to me, and it fell and hit my phone right perfectly on that corner.
Oof.
Rough day for electronics.
We were talking about the heavy metal flying around yesterday, you know, particularly the fighters anyway, not so heavy, but they have been all week, because we've, you know, our computers go to sleep after so many minutes, at least the screens do, all week when they fly over, they have been waking up the computers, because it vibrates everything enough to wiggle the mouse, and then they wake up. It was very reminiscent of the old station. With, right. If you remember right, we had shelves on the wall between the kitchen and the, I'm going to use this term very loosely, production room, more like pen. Mm-hmm. Something fell off the shelf and shattered one of our laptops.
Yep.
Yeah, it very much felt like that.
Right on. So, Jay.
All right. Broken electronics. Cool.
Well, in other things that are dying, Wisconsin is being infested by tree-killing beetles. The State Department of Natural Resources confirmed on Friday that the emerald ash borer has been detected in Burnett County, meaning the infestation has now spread to all 72 counties.
Mm-hmm. We have two trees in our yard. Yeah. Guess what kind's in the front yard? An ash.
The pest is called an emerald ash borer because the green beetle bores its way into ash trees, eventually killing the trees. The department says the insect is expected to kill 99% of Wisconsin's white, black, and green ash trees.
Oh, yep. We have a green ash, we think.
There you go. Yeah.
Cool.
That's a huge thing that they're super aggressive on in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. They hunt down these things, and if there's a sign that they have been there, even if it's an old sign on a tree,
take the tree, yeah, because that won't spread.
They chop it and shred the tree and burn it. I mean, they're aggressive. kill it with fire.
Intense.
Do you have any good news, like how I can prevent it in there?
Not how to prevent it, but in good news, Janesville police used a drone and canine to find a suspect who was on the loose. Officers were called Friday morning to reports of a reckless vehicle speeding near Milton Avenue and Black Bridge Drive. When police found the vehicle, one officer was nearly hit by the suspect. After crashing a few blocks away, the suspect fled the vehicle on foot. Police pursued the suspect using a drone and a canine and found him in a home on East Memorial Drive, where he was arrested and taken into custody. The suspect faces several charges, including OWI.
I think that may have been the call I got the other day.
Yes.
So I'm part of the state's, Wisconsin's, drone network that utilizes drone pilots and resources in the event that they so need one. But this one was a... You may have these occasionally, an LE only, so law enforcement only call. Mm-hmm. And they put that in the text, and you find out, like, okay, well, I don't get to respond to that one. So, but they were looking for a small drone to go into a building.
Yeah. Oh, so, interesting.
Which a lot of law enforcement are getting those now, particularly in Wisconsin, at least, I'm sure elsewhere. But the little guys that are, maybe like 8 inches wide or nine inches wide and can easily fit through doorways and windows and stuff like that to navigate a dwelling. So,
and drones and canines. We have the canine drone here.
We do? The robot
drone. I did. Robot dog that's running around.
Yeah. He was getting coffee with me the other morning.
Can I pet that dog? That's all I can think of. Can I pet that dog?
to sideline a little bit from the news, the guy was talking about the robot dog when I was there, and he was talking about how this thing could keep it couldn't go super fast, but it could keep, like, it was like 15 miles an hour for like 4 hours.
Wow.
I'm
not going to run 15 miles an hour for 4 minutes.
And he said that was the predicted because they ran out of range on the controls before the battery died. Is nice. What they were saying. So.
Plus, they're really good at navigating a rough terrain. You know, like, and I don't mean they're going to mountain climb, but they rocks. You know, like really rocky surfaces. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem navigating that. A little slower, but I mean, it's still incredibly cool to see that.
Back to the news. In Madison, a proposal by a U.S. Wisconsin senator aims to protect communities from sudden hospital closures. Senator Tammy Baldwin's Hospital Stability and Health Services Act, or HSHS Act, would require hospital systems to notify the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services before closing down. They would also be required to come up with a plan to connect patients with new care. The legislation comes after multiple hospital sisters, health systems, and Prevea closures in western Wisconsin this year. Fat tongue, but trying to protect patients in the event of hospital closures.
Yeah.
Very important for rural communities. I come from a small town, and there's one hospital, and that is it for an hour. So.
Exactly. And, they're profit driven still. They can't stay open without profits, but I understand why, somebody's trying to intervene and say, okay, but you can't shut down the only one. So how do we make this work?
Yeah. We're seeing that in a few communities in northern Minnesota. One of my other radio engineer friends is the mayor of a small town. And they were
radio engineer and mayor.
Yes. Truth.
Yeah.
And
I feel like you were on that trajectory at some point. But
I may be unelectable. I don't know. for reasons, right?
Reasons.
I'm just saying reasons. Sure. They're trying to close down stuff and like, well, you can just go to this other place that's like 30 miles away. You know, that's fine for a clinic. Mm-hmm. Or the hospital that's like an hour and a half away.
Yeah, that doesn't seem helpful in an emergency. So.
Right.
Coming out of Eau Claire, an Eau Claire deputy city attorney is now a county judge. Governor Tony Evers appointed Douglas Hoffer to Eau Claire County Circuit Court Branch 2 seat, which was left open by Judge Michael Schumacher. The former judge resigned in May. Hoffer's last day at the city attorney's office will be August 16th, and his term as judge will end next July. Hoffer lives in Eau Claire with his family and graduated from Marquette University Law School. And finally, in your local news for this morning, Madison again, a man and woman from Madison are charged with distributing cocaine and methamphetamine. Emmanuel Gonzalez and Yeletizia Ortiz Chapado are accused of selling the drugs since late 2022.
How many names was that?
That it was 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Gotcha.
There are two people, but one person had three names in their name. If convicted, Gonzalez faces up to 60 years in prison between two charges, and Ortiz Chapado faces up to 40 years for their involvement.
Well, you know, cool story, bro, but was it like 45 pounds of meth like we had in Minnesota? I mean, come on.
Who knows? Maybe maybe they're working together.
You guys are feisty. Now we're going to compete on, you know.
My drugs are more holes than your drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Our people get busted with more than yours. Cool. Very cool. It's not cool, kids. Stay off drugs.
Right.
Just say no.
I do have a story in the opposite vein. If you want to be healthy, the fittest cities in the United States are Arlington, Virginia, and Washington, D.C.
Not in Wisconsin?
No.
Really?
Oh, no.
I didn't hear Minnesota in there either.
That's according to a ranking by American College of Sports Medicine and the Anthem Foundation. Hold your horses on that one. Seattle, San Francisco, and Madison, Wisconsin follow just behind.
Boom!
The index ranks the 100 largest cities using 33 indicators. At the bottom of the list was Memphis.
Oh, I thought you were. I really wanted to hear something there, Minnesota. Minnesota, just all of Minnesota. All of it.
Yep.
So, healthy folks in Madison. There's a lot of bikers in Madison.
A lot of bikers, a lot of runners, a lot of running groups.
Yep.
It is one of the most bike-friendly cities I've heard.
It very much is.
From those that are into such
things. It does feel very bike-forward in a lot of the planning that it does.
Andrea used to ride her bike to work all the time.
As someone who biked 8.5 miles to work.
Through Madison.
Yeah, through very rural parts of Madison down to campus area. There was always a bike path, and even if they were doing construction on a bike path, you had another bike path you could take. Like, very friendly for bikes.
Well, they're doing that the reconstruction on the main east side because they're putting those bus lines in.
Yes.
Down the east side of Madison.
Rapid transit bus system.
Yeah, and I think that includes bike lanes there, too.
Yes,
it
does.
They made space for that
as
well.
They're not done yet, so I'm confused what it all means. There's large sections of the road, I think I mentioned this earlier this week, that are painted red.
Hmm.
Or, I don't know, it's not quite painted, but the surface is now red. And I don't know what that means.
I don't know, but I'm scared to drive there.
I know. I'm like, does that mean I have to stay out? It's not marked yet, so I have no idea what it means. I'm confused.
Give us the text line. Tell us how to do bus.
Yeah, 920-550-1210. Tell us where to park our bus. So. No.
Oh, we're on top of it this morning.
Park that Big Mac truck right in a little garage.
Well, that's
like that.
Kind of where I was going, except I wasn't going to spell out the entire lyric. So.
Oh, wow. That's where we're going.
That's where we're going.
And now he caught up.
Thank you for joining us today, Jay.
I still don't get it.
It's fine. Just look up the lyrics Jim just recited if you really care that much, folks. I'm not repeating them. Goodness gracious.
Coming up, we have some news on El Chapo's cohort in starting the cartel down south.
Oh, it's very a good entrepreneurial cool story, yes, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Nice. Love that.
Yeah. All drugs, all the time, here in the morning pre-flight news. Join us again after the break for more drugs, right?
More drugs.
Woo. All right. That's how we do this. This is the morning pre-flight on EAA Radio.
gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the morning pre-flight with Tommy and Santa, Jim. Tommy and Jim.
What do you want for the morning show, Jim?
Ho. That's how you do that, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm more laughing at Jay's delivery over here, particularly because it ended in this very, like, Shakespearean thespian motion, like, what would you like, Jim? And he did this kind of hand-raising thing as he... It was nice. It was quality.
And much like I set it up, and much like a dog, the ball just kind of bounced off his head.
Don't say dog anymore. I'm going to keep doing that voice.
Depend that dog.
For those of you that haven't seen it, just go YouTube, Can I Pet That Dog? So
it is funny.
It's a little girl and a grizzly bear or something, or a black bear. Or, I don't know.
I wonder, is that the original?
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
That's
because it's been applied to so many things.
Legitimately her voice.
No, it's legitimately her voice, yeah. But is that the situation in which that was done? Because I've seen that, like, added to so many things.
And I can see that.
To the point where I don't know what was the originating thing.
Okay. I'm fairly certain that's the originating item, and it's a little girl... on like a back porch behind a railing, at least, and there's a baby bear there, and she wants to pet it because she thinks it's a dog, and she keeps saying in the strangest accent that I couldn't possibly place, except I'm going to assume somewhere south of here.
Yes.
She says, can I pet that dog? And then it keeps escalating, what, three times she says it?
Yeah, because
until,
like,
she gets to, can I pet that dog?
Because, like, the child is walking towards the bear with outstretched hand, like, asking permission from their parent, who then, like, grabs them and is like, no, you cannot. And then proceeds to, like, there it is.
I'm so sorry to break all of this to you, but I don't think that's the original video.
I don't believe it.
I think it's just a small child in a kitchen asking about petting a dog.
Nope, I don't believe it.
I've seen so many, like I said,
I reject your facts.
I've seen that dropped into so many things.
Yeah.
I have not thoroughly vetted this yet, but it seems like that's the answer.
I reject your contribution. I don't believe. I don't want to believe that. I want to believe it's the bear.
It's the quote there, I reject your reality.
This is going to ruin my day. It's not the bear. You don't understand.
Well, I suppose I'll get back to it then.
That's fair.
News can't be wrong. In Washington, D.C., Republican nominee for Vice President J.D. Vance is defending remarks he made in 2021 about childless cat ladies running the country. Vance faced backlash this week for the comments he previously made referring to Vice President Kamala Harris and other Democrats, in which he argued the party is controlled by people without children. Vance told the Megyn Kelly Show that the media has attacked him for his sarcasm and not on the substance of what he said. He argued that the Democratic Party is becoming anti-family and anti-child.
Sure.
And more sad news, one of the largest meat distributors in the United States is recalling over 200,000 pounds. This is a boomerang story, by the way. Over 200,000 pounds of deli meat over listeria concerns. The FDA says Boar's Head is recalling the meat because it could be contaminated with listeria, which could cause deadly infections in some. An investigation is underway to determine if the contamination is related to the ongoing listeria outbreak that has killed two people and sickened a dozen more across 13 states.
That's sad, because Boar's Head is delicious.
I don't know that I've had it.
Oh, it's
you likely have, just don't know, because that's a lot of grocery store delis.
Gotcha. Okay.
Grocery store delis. Yeah.
Boar's Head and Kirschmeyer, those are some common suppliers for those kind of things.
In not so much deli, but in more meat news, that's.
Today in meat.
Yes. A viral TikTok challenge is forcing Chipotle to address complaints about small portion sizes.
Yes, I saw this.
The Chipotle camera trick challenge started trending after a Chipotle customer posted a video of an employee who added more food to his bowl because he was being filmed. The video got over 2 million views and has inspired similar videos to get bigger portions. Now the head of Chipotle says they are training and coaching their employees to make sure they are consistently making bowls and burritos correctly. CEO Brian Nicole, I said it right the first time, said Thursday there was never a directive to provide less to our customers.
I have seen this, and in fact, I have seen this in action.
I hate it. I think going in and harassing a service food or food service worker as they're doing, I mean, if they're not like giving you the adequate proportions, I can say here saying something, but like
sure,
bringing in and being like, I'm going to film you so you do the thing. Like, they have a hard enough job.
No, I watched this in action at a Chipotle where purposely one person went through and ordered one thing. You know, this thing, and then the next one came through and was ordering the exact same thing, pulled out the camera, and then they showed the difference.
Yeah.
It was literally double, or I should say, not, I think the inverse is probably correct. The one that was not being filmed got half the quantity of the one that was being filmed. And they believe it to be actually a directive, not from the master corporation, but from the individual store managers. To increase efficiencies.
Sure.
But I feel for the people that were working doing that because they're getting pushed from one direction and the other. But at the same time, I do like the idea of a movement of the masses via social media pushing a corporation to make a wiser decision.
Sure.
I like that idea.
Yeah, and I mean,
that I can agree with you.
Yeah. Cameras are not. I've seen, you know, drastic inadequacy, or what am I trying to say?
Discrepancies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In the amounts of food served one after the other.
Yeah.
We haven't gone a lot lately, but Andrew and I have been frequent customers of Chipotle. It's generally decent if you get one that isn't crummy, and it's quick, and it's, you can make it somewhat healthy as well. Mm-hmm. So,
a friend of mine owns a Qdoba franchise. And has been just loving all of this because so many people are like, oh, I'm not getting my value there anymore, so I'm going to go find something else.
Sure.
And a lot of them are landing in Qdoba and other places because they're like, if I'm going to pay Chipotle prices, I want to have a sizable portion or something at least that I'm used to. You know, so he's sitting back and going between the fact that they have free guac and the portion sizes with that, it's been doing pretty well for him. So maybe he might be disappointed now with this statement.
Yeah, that's fair. It's one of those things. I don't know if they're going to recover as much as they want to from it, but. No. In good news, like legitimately good news, blood donors at Comic-Con have donated 1,400 pints of blood so far. In just 2 days, the San Diego Blood Bank is nearly halfway to its goal of 3,000 pints at Comic-Con. When you donate, you'll earn a limited edition Marvel, Deadpool, and Wolverine t-shirt. Plus, you'll be in the middle of all the action in the Manchester Grand Hyatt Hotel. The blood drive runs through Sunday at 3:30. If you plan on being at Comic-Con, you can visit the sandiegobloodbank.org for more information about how they're doing that.
Very cool.
Lovely. Yeah, the I guess that's the nerdiest blood ever.
Sure. I'm going to move on from that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump says he's removed the last bandage from his ear following a recent assassination attempt that left him injured.
Earlier, how many were there?
There's just the one bandage.
Oh.
He's done swapping it out.
I'm very confused.
Earlier this month, a bullet grazed his right ear when a man opened fire during a campaign rally in Pennsylvania. Trump was seen wearing a bandage over the area at recent public events. On Friday, the former president spoke in Florida where he told crowds he removed the final bandage and he said he hoped that it would be the end of it. Trump intends to return to Butler, Pennsylvania, the same city where an assassination attempt that left one attendee dead and two others injured occurred. On Friday, Trump wrote he will be returning to the city for a big and beautiful rally. It's unclear when or where the rally will take place, as Secret Service officials have urged him to stop holding events outdoors following the shooting.
Oh. That might explain some things.
Mm-hmm.
There is a significant event going on my campus tomorrow.
Yes.
And the largest building that they could get their hands on, but it was indoors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That does explain some things.
Sure.
South Carolina is hiring a financial firm to investigate a $1.8 billion mystery. Alex Partners will be looking into the nearly $2 billion that ended up in a state account with no information on where it came from or where it was to be allocated to. So far, state officials have been unable to solve the mystery, leading to the decision to pay the firm $3 million to get to the bottom of it.
Wait, how much was in the...
Almost $2 billion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the state is just like, we have money?
Right. Where did this come from? I wish I had... Is that like the state government version of finding like a $5 bill in your pocket? Like, where's this from?
So Minnesota goes back and forth between having a deficit and, you know, and then suddenly a surplus. And it goes, it varies so wildly that just the fact that that's how some of the state funding is structured, it leads to this constant complaint from both sides on you know, we need to be able to fund these things, and we got a deficit, and okay, we'll make this minute change, and suddenly we have a, I think last year it was like a $13 or $14 billion surplus.
Wow.
And then to say, oh, so we need to cut all taxes everywhere, and I want a refund, and, you know, and it's like, well,
it just... Small things, hang on.
Well, it just keeps going up and down, and it just, it's like fodder for people to complain about things in both directions. It's, I think it's because a lot of the tax funds in Minnesota are driven by sales tax. So when sales are good on things, it's a unplanned inrush. Or conversely, you know, sometimes not. But
we got too hung up on taxes, so the short version of the drug story is El Chapo's partner, Ismael Zambada Garcia, is also in custody now.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's fun.
So, El Chapo.
Where am I going to get my drugs?
In Chapo number two. With that,
yeah, exactly.
The guy with 45 pounds in his car.
Right, cool. There you go. Thanks.
Cool. Well, thank you for all the drugs this morning, Jay.
You're welcome. You know where to, you got my number.
I'll text you. I'll text your pager. Cool.
Yes.
90s drug references here on the Morning Pre-Flight. After the break, we've got weather with Pat St. John. This is EAA Radio.
EAA Radio's Patrick St. John is a meteorology enthusiast. Remember to personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from Flight Service before you go flying.
Everybody's sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, everything that's wonderful.
It's such a lovely day and a cool morning. Something that I will never choose to
short.
Do. But
why are people running?
It is the runway 5K.
Is there's a chasing
bear.
Them?
There's a bear. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Can I pet that dog?
No, there it
it's
is.
The bear.
Can I pet that dog?
I did see a lady running in the 5K that had like an airplane inflatable and was like stopping and was like had to adjust it and then like was keeping running.
Nice. Seems like an unfair advantage. If she runs fast enough, she'll get lift.
I think Boeing Plaza might have a.
Yeah, their camera might be.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Look, a pole.
I think it's resetting. I don't know.
Yes.
Yes.
Later. So the announcer for that event is a friend of mine. Currently working out with.
They have an announcer for the
5K.
They do. They do.
What do you announce?
I don't know.
You did it.
Run faster.
No offense, Jay. Not you, other Jay.
Oh.
But yeah, he's currently works with 96.9 The Fox and WOSH and those fine folks over there.
Ah.
Cool.
Hence why his truck is parked right in that shot.
Look at that.
Is that the guy that called at the beginning of the week?
Yeah. Yes. Formerly worked at several stations in Minnesota where we have crossed paths many a time.
Very cool.
But yes, the Runway 5K is in full force. Yes. Looks like they're running down Knapp Street
trampled.
Right now. Yeah, if you don't go on Knapp right now.
Just stay away.
Down by Vintage or Ultralights, you will get squished.
Looks like they're hitting Boeing Plaza here shortly too, so careful around that area.
Yeah, they are. Yep, just crossing across Boeing Plaza.
Yes.
It's not a bad minute.
They're everywhere.
They're gonna come right past the station here, surely.
Oh, cool!
It's not a bad day to do it.
If you're gonna do that, nice. This is the kind of day to do it on.
Yeah, not that I would. But
no, never.
No.
Absolutely not.
Tired watching those folks. Good morning, Pat St. John.
Good morning. Well, today is warmer than yesterday. Well, like I said, as I've been repeating myself continuously.
Thank God we have a weather enthusiast to tell us that.
You know, I was thinking about this the other night of how I have the disclaimer of weather enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just a constant reminder of my failure. By the way,
was not the
here's
intention.
This meteorologist.
Don't listen to him. He's not really a meteorologist. Do not trust this person.
He is only a weather enthusiast.
You just play one on the radio.
Yes, exactly.
We have to legally inform people of your failure. I'm sorry.
Exactly. That's what I'm
legally
saying.
Legally obligated to.
It's like being an aviation enthusiast. He's not a pilot. He can never be.
It's like being a sex offender. You have to register. No?
I do still use Pat as, not by name because nobody would know you anyway, but I still use you as an example.
No one knows you.
I'm an unnamed example of don't do this.
A failure.
I see how this works. That's fine. Well, you just bring me in to say don't. See that? Not that.
When I'm advising some of my students and they're having some problems in figuring out this career path or this major versus that major, and but I'm already this many years, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know this guy.
I knew a guy.
Yeah. He pivoted.
He was so hard-headed.
He almost nearly completed his meteorology degree, couldn't pass one class, and decided to start all over again in something else.
Yes.
Twice.
I just wanted to, I love to donate money towards educational institutions.
Yes.
I mean, I remember having that conversation with
you. I went to school for, 7 years too, Pat, but I have many degrees to show for it. Yeah, so.
Well, I hope they keep you warm at night.
Yes, exactly. That and 10 bucks and you can buy a cup of coffee. So, there you go.
Well, yes.
So about that weather.
High of 85 today.
Okay.
It is dew points in the low 60s. So it's like I said.
So the warmest we've been, but still, very reasonable for this time of year.
Yes.
We've been here plenty of years that have been a lot warmer.
Not going to complain too loud.
No.
Correct. Cloud cover today. I mean, we'll call it mostly sunny. There's some clouds peeking through here and there, but it'll be mostly, small amount of clouds, but that's about it. For those planning on flying out, it would probably be advisable between now and tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, afternoonish, but by Sunday night into Monday, we are looking more towards rain, thunderstorms, and overcast skies. So for those trying to fly out without IFR, you would probably be best to do it before Sunday morning. So
I have a question, Doctor. Not Dr. Pat.
Yes, the gentleman at the end of the table raising your hand.
So I've been listening and watching your weather forecast, and I have up on my screen the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not once during the week has your numbers matched what I see from the National Weather Service. Where are you getting your facts?
I am getting my facts directly from the National Weather Service.
Because the National Weather Service says today high of about 82 to 83 on my screen.
I am seeing
Sorry, Jim. I'm going to put my stock in Pat St. John here because
he's the enthusiast.
Because I feel like day one over there, they teach you, here's how to go Google the weather so you can be a meteorologist.
You don't need math. Google it. So I am through GRB, weather.gov/GRB/OSH. They have an entire page dedicated.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. They have the Oshkosh. Okay.
Yes.
Because when you go to forecast.weather.gov for the Oshkosh area, it's different data.
Yes.
That's why I'm confused.
Yep. 84 at about 4 p.m. today.
Yeah. See, I have a high of 83 at 2 o'clock.
Do you guys just want to hug it out? Really?
No, this is a legitimate issue of where are you getting your data from and
well, yours is here specific.
Specific to Whitman.
Yeah. So I'm going with that. So I believe you. I know how to navigate
for
weather.gov.
For a plug for our Weather or Nots program, they talk about how there's multiple different models that they use.
Yeah,
correct. You should tune in.
So that is, I think, I don't remember how that's exactly created, but I don't think there's much human interaction to that at all.
Okay.
That might be it.
It could well be. And that's why my actual intention, it was less accusatory and more educational, We have the same origin of our data, but
true.
Different interpolations depending on which link I click from the same source.
It's the government.
We're here to help.
I think we have a contact at the National Weather Service that can help you solve this theory.
Yes.
Never heard of him.
In fact, as Jay just pointed out, they had conversations about how your local weather office versus others and how they interact and how they work together. Just tune in, whether or not, at 2 p.m.
Meanwhile, Mitch is listening to this, screaming into the radio.
No, I hope, right here.
I hope he doesn't listen to any of our weather segments or weather talk or
yet
just
again,
the station in
general. Are you just explaining my failures? Or?
No, it's more about mine, but thank you anyway.
So, yes, warmer today than yesterday. How about that, Jim?
We will agree on that point.
Dew points a little higher than yesterday.
About that.
Oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Second night in a row that both your numbers and
that.
My numbers were off again.
I heard you this morning explaining that. And yeah. To be fair, I've seen is exactly what happened. It's like 60 degrees as the low temperature is what I had said even yesterday morning.
Right. But we got down into the upper 50s, like 50s is 54 yesterday.
You said 54 and 58.
54 was the was
yesterday.
Two nights ago, or what have you.
Okay.
24 hours ago was 54.
So
last night, or, you know, 3-4 hours ago was 61.
58 this morning.
Was it 58?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, 61 in my tent.
Well, yeah.
Yes, with four bodies and a refrigerator, it was 61. Got it. Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
And a mouth breather. What do you want?
Fair. But it's, again, I find it interesting that we have conflicting results from the same data.
I don't know.
And then
I can't explain for them.
Oh.
I make no excuses.
Oh, no.
And that's why you should always retain a weather brief from a certified meteorologist at the National Weather Service.
Hi.
We're being invaded.
There's a whole slew of gingers outside. Goodness.
A trifecta of ginger.
We've got groupies in our window.
Yes. There are. It's true.
These seem far less interested in us.
Hello.
My children and my wife are
yes, at the window, watching Daddy.
See, I have some successes.
Yes.
Yeah, how'd that grass go this morning?
I really think it's despite, but yes.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
She found sunglasses.
Oh,
they're not ours,
okay.
But I'm sure someone left them
there. I
didn't
understand
someone was getting respite from the
she
sun.
She did this
probably.
Weird repetitive motion like,
to sunglasses? Dancing. That's called dancing.
Sunglasses?
Hey,
I don't even know how to pop, drop, and lock. Sorry, that's an inside joke. Hope Nicole's listening.
I'm sure.
Hey, you're about fucking traffic.
Yeah.
Nice.
Goodness.
Nonetheless, yes. So sunny today, warmer, and by Sunday noon time, 3 p.m., it will be different.
Yeah, I think that it's all about the timing.
Yes, and it really is.
This is going to be one of those little pop-up shower systems. It's not going to be an organized system.
No, right. It's not a complete drencher, but overcast skies will likely exist or at least mostly cloudy until Tuesday here. So we're going from a high-level system to a low.
Mm-hmm.
A low will be making its way through, too.
Right.
Good deal. Thank you, Pants. Pat St. John.
Pants
St. John.
I'm wearing shorts, but is that fine?
Short Pants St. John. And Jay. Thank you both. Up next, Dick Nepinski gives the highlights for the day. This is EA Radio.
You're listening to The Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
There you go, Dick. You didn't want to hear the Pinky and the Brain one, so.
EAA, the radio, the musical.
Canceled
when I first heard the opening notes, I thought, don't cry for me, Argentina. What? Just.
That does sound similar.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, somebody said, like, oh, every pop hit, there are only four chords.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
If you know the four chords, mm-hmm. you can play anything. Mm-hmm. And so I thought you guys might be out in the Runway 5K today.
You know better
just,
than that.
Just missed it, unfortunately. I mean, yeah. I really wish I could have been out there, Dick.
I'd love to, but, you know, I'm training for a marathon right now, and right. This race is too short. Yes. It's like a sprint.
The mob is approaching Warbirds, as we see.
Yes, so. They are. Look at that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good to see a lot of health fitness out there, and here we are.
And, yep. Although I think I can respect it. There is the mob approaching there, but you can see most of them have gone back to walking.
Yeah.
Which I say, having noted that I would not have made it to that point to be able to walk.
That's fair. Yeah, the problem is, you know, a lot of those 5Ks they hold in communities, and mm-hmm. you go by a bar, I'd be, that'd be it. And,
I need a refreshment.
I need a refreshment. About 4 hours later, we got everybody here except one. Got a quick little funny story about that 5Ks. My oldest son works for the River Dogs baseball team in Charleston, South Carolina. And so they had their 5K a couple weeks back. And they said they open up the outfield gate and they give them 90 minutes. I mean, this is 3 miles, 90 minutes. You figure, okay, you know, everybody, you know. And so 90 minutes go by. They have to get the field ready for the game. Starts in about an hour and a half after that. And they're still waiting for people. And so, you know, did they fall in the river? Did they, you know, and now you have to go try to find runners. I mean, are they lost in some place now? You know, they've gone back to the Civil War down there in Charleston or something. It's and so, yeah, 5Ks have a kind of a life of their own. I mean, they're fun. A lot of people enjoy them. But, yeah, you can lose a few folks there every so often.
There are people that, like, travel around. So there are people traveling around doing marathons and 5Ks, too.
Yep.
And I found a subset of that subset that run around to 5Ks at airports.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
Wow. So you fly there and then go run and then...
Yes. Yeah. There are people that travel around doing 5Ks at airports. It turns out that it's a thing. I did not know
this. Well, there we go. I learned something this morning. This is great. You get to day six, usually you figure you've heard it all, but wow. So it's...
There's a very active aircraft spotting group out of the Minneapolis area.
Okay,
We've got a very nice aircraft viewing area. It's cool. You go through a tunnel, and you pop up in between all the runways.
Oh,
and you're in the center of all the runways.
Wow.
For our viewing area there. So, I met somebody there that was talking about, you know, I'm going here for this 5K and five. You know, and it was like, you do the one in Oshkosh? Oh, yeah, we always go out and do the one in Oshkosh. But then, you know, but then next weekend we go to this other airport and this other airport. I'm like, is there a bunch of people that do this? He's like, oh, yeah, there's like 50 or 60 of us. I'm like, cool.
Okay, wow. There we go. Yeah. I guess there's something for anybody out there if you really put your mind to it. So
it really is.
But,
So after they're catching their breath after the 5K, what's going on today?
What's going on today? Oh, going to be a fun day today. I mean, glorious weather once again. Going to be a little bit warmer today, so get out there. Big thing again, modified crowd line out there both today and tomorrow. So if you try to set your chairs between the speaker poles and the burn line.
For the day show only,
The day show only, right. Yes. And for everybody. Please do not make it look like the Oklahoma land rush after the day show. You know, there are airplanes out there yet. Mm-hmm. There are things. Okay, just calmly take your chairs and move them out there to the spot for the night show.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things. We do our best to try to say, okay, people, but an Oklahoma land rush is probably the best thing I've got. Everybody's lined up there to move right out there. And we don't want any Sooners.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that derogatory from people from Oklahoma who enjoy the University of Oklahoma teams. I mean it in the original context of that. So, but, you know, that's the big thing. You know, we've got some fun stuff coming up. What was really fun for the Royal Canadian Air Force, we've got the Snowbirds, we've got the Lancaster, and we've got the CF-18, and we've got the Vintage Wings Group. Before they got here, they all started talking to one another and said, hey, can we fly together? Could we do this? Could we do that? And so they came down they kept calling us with all of these new ideas to say, yeah, can we, like the CF-18 with the Snowbirds, they said they had done that once before. Wow. That is it. And that was for their the Royal, this RCAF 100th celebration in Canada.
Sure.
Was the only time they had done that. And so they thought, yeah, let's do it at Oshkosh. Cool. So you saw that, you know, saw the CF-18 beat up the sky, then join up with the Snowbirds for a few minutes. And
that's
then,
very cool.
Yeah.
We had a discussion earlier this morning about the age of the Snowbirds aircraft and the problems that tend to come with that.
Yeah.
But we would not want to see the Snowbirds transition into a F-18.
It wouldn't be the same.
It would not be the same. You could not have that show with F-18s. It just couldn't happen. So I think they have the right aircraft for the job for so long as they can keep them in the skies.
And, you know, what do you do when you transition that? And I'm sure they've discussed this at what point is it overboard? Or is it like the B-52 that, okay, it's been flying for 70 years.
Let's refit it again.
I think we can do it. Well, maybe we can squeeze another 50 out of it.
Yeah.
Also this morning at 10 o'clock, we've got Representative Sam Graves. He's going to be in the forums area giving the government update. Of course, Representative Graves did tremendous work on reauthorization this year. For the first time, there is a general aviation segment in the reauthorization bill, which actually tells everybody in the government GA is important.
It actually exists.
It exists, yeah. And, you know, there are things in there regarding fuels that make sure that 100 low lead is available on airports until there is a viable replacement for it. Very, very important for that. Tells the FAA that, yes, you are going to bring the Mosaic rule out, and it's going to be there. You know, so it's been mandated by Congress now. So a lot of work by Representative Graves as chair of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. So he's going to be here, and we'll have a chance to recognize him at that time as well.
He'll be on air with us as well at 11:45 today, talking with Fareed Geo on course correction.
Yeah. So. Course correction, and you know, just ask about warbirds. I think he'll, you know, there we go. Enough about Congress. Let's talk about warbirds. And, you know, to have somebody like that, because we had the late Senator Jim Inhofe, who just passed away a few weeks ago, and who was a big champion for GA, and now Representative Graves has kind of picked up that mantle as the leading spokesman in Congress.
Do we have an advocate at that level in the Senate without Inhofe there?
Not yet. You know, you've got some people who do have some flying experience. You know, Tammy Duckworth, of course, was a helicopter pilot in the military, and, you know, so there are people who understand about flight.
Right.
You know, Senator Inhofe and Representative Graves, to them it's a passion as well.
Well, their interest lies in GA as much as anything else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was always the kind of the in.
Yep.
You know?
It was. So,
or if you want to go back, you know, was it Oberstar?
Right, James Oberstar was
not a pilot, but was super passionate about the idea of GA and GA flight and what it could do and stuff like that. So, I mean, we just got to find the people that have the right mindset.
Well, you know, and it speaks so well, and you would hope that more congressional people would be involved in that, because it does speak to the idea of freedom and responsibility at the same time. Anybody who flies understands that you can do this wonderful thing, but the more you do it, the more responsibility you have for you and your passengers.
Right.
And, that's a great mix, and it really, you know, not to have the patriotic music in the background now with everything else, but, you know, it really speaks to the American ideal that if you take the responsibility for something, you can have the freedom for it.
Right.
And that's important. And
So, Dick, I see a American Airlines aircraft sitting out on the throat of Boeing Plaza. I'm assuming that is our flight to D.C.?
That was yesterday's
return.
That's the return.
Okay.
One thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, too. This afternoon, we're going to have Medal of Honor recipient Bob Patterson, who went on the trip yesterday.
Gotcha.
Cool. And he'll be by the airplane. So stop on out at Boeing Plaza. And so that airplane will be around today before they push it out. Of course, it has the Medal of Honor livery on it, and which was, you know, and that's always great. That last night is absolutely one of my favorite moments of the entire week. These veterans come back, and you know, the Vietnam vets now, it's tough to think now, for somebody my age, you know, now in the 60s, these were all young guys. You knew them. They were neighbors and cousins and people like that and uncles, and they went off to war at 19, 20, 21 years old. And you think of them in that context, you know, and you know, we've all advanced now. And but to come off and see the big welcome they had yesterday, just tremendous. Everybody who hung around after the air show, thank you for giving them the big welcome that they got, and really makes it worthwhile. And thanks to American Airlines, who volunteers the airplane. The crews are all volunteers. They come out and they want to do this. And you know, the Old Glory Honor Flight people out of Appleton, just up the road, that coordinate this entire thing, including having several Air Venture attendees in the drawing who Very can cool. go on the trip. So it all adds up that way. So it's that's a great moment. Yeah, go out, see the airplane, and see the Medal of Honor recipient, and talk with them.
Huge crowd last night, you're right, when they came back. Saw a lot of signs.
Yeah.
People holding signs for their family members and friends and whatnot. It was really great to see.
One of my favorite things, I know we're running out of time here, is when you hear somebody in the background waving, going, "Grandpa," you know, that kind of thing. That kind of gets you, and especially when that guy sees his grandkids there, and that's mm-hmm. that's when he gets a little misty at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Night Air Show tonight.
Night Air Show, 8 o'clock. Remember, Theater in the Woods tonight starts at 6:30. Starts a little bit early. So, get done with the day show. Grab a bite to eat. See Theater in the Woods. Go to the night show. You'll have a full day.
There's your agenda, folks. Yep. Thanks for coming in again, Dick.
My pleasure.
See you one more time tomorrow.
Indeed.
All right. That'll be day 7. But we're going to close out this segment. And I don't know what we're going to do next. We'll figure it out. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Timmy and Jami, the dynamic duo of EAA Radio. Tim and Jami in the morning. Tim and Jami with Hal Bryan. Tim and Jami in Oshkosh. Tim and Jami on the radio. Tim and Jami making TikToks. Tim and Jami on the walkies. Tim and Jami driving golf carts. Tim and Jami losing car keys. Tim and Jami, something's broken. Help. Tim and Jami going crazy. Tim and Jami wearing red hats. Tim and Jami don't exist. Tim and Jami hiding in the office. Tim and Jami at the station. Tim and Jami holding hands. Tim and Jami being silly. Tim and Jami wearing blue shirts. Tim and Jami solving climate change. Tim and Jami for president. Tim and Jami so brackcore. Mr. 920, Mr. Oshkosh. Mr. Wah-wah. Fireball.
What just happened? That went on for so long, and I knew something was coming because they were brainstorming this around the campfire.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we had a discussion on which one of us is Tim and which one of us is Jami.
It could go either way.
I'm definitely Jami.
All right.
This is the Morning Pre-Flight. Jami and Tim here. 7:34 a.m. It's going to be a beautiful day today, folks, so come on out to Air Venture Oshkosh 2024 for day 6, afternoon air show, night air show, lots to do and lots to see. It should be awesome.
It should be a good day with a disputed high temperature of about mid-80s.
Yes, disputed high temperature. Oh, hello. We have more guests joining in the booth today. Yes, hi. Hi.
Nice.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh,
bye, guys.
That's right.
Sorry.
All right.
Yes. More folks departing today, as honestly you'll see quite a bit of in terms of aircraft, both today and particularly tomorrow. You can join us tomorrow, by the way, from the stand for 2 straight hours of babble and aircraft spotting as the boys are on the deck for clear for departure.
So, time frame for that?
10 to noon.
Gotcha.
10 to noon tomorrow with Farid and Weasel. They'll be on the air, the dynamic duo that they are. So.
And it is actually, you know, pretty cool to, you know.
Yeah. If you've ever talked to Eric, he has a million aircraft stories.
Right.
And an aircraft will show up and that will lead to another story. So,
yeah.
Makes for some interesting radio, particularly on a day when there's so much activity.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's a great day for airplane watching, you know, for,
yes.
you know, things going past you instead mm-hmm. of you having to walk the grounds. You can park yourself out on the taxiway and
well, maybe they will not come to right you. On the taxiway.
Yeah, don't sit on the taxiway. That might end badly. But no, I see the kind of the parade of flight in reverse. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
it really is
getting out. Yeah. So again, mid-80s today. Looking for mostly sunny skies. South winds 7 to 10 miles an hour, mm-hmm. starting to get a little stickier with the humidity creeping up on us a little bit. Overnights going to be in the low 60s. It is interesting to also see the departures happening in the campsite.
Yes,
you know there's
a lot
there's
of switching around, moving, and people leaving and coming in.
Yeah, a lot of people, especially in our area, that have been here for the whole show plus some. Mm-hmm. You know, for those of us that showed up many days ahead of time. So some of those groups are starting to kind of pull out and leave.
Sure.
From what I understand, not being one of these people, but from what I understand, Saturday is a busy day, but it's mostly, or a good portion thereof, is locals. So gotcha. People that drive in. So a lot of the camping people are starting to pull out and ease up on that. So it's a different crowd. Of course, the Night Air Show. I say the Night Air Show. It's more like the fact that Saturday is such a full day from sunup to well past sundown that you can get a pretty solid bang for your buck.
Yeah, it's arguably the busiest day. So
yeah. With the weather being what it is, I have a hunch that we're going to see a pretty light Sunday.
Could be. Yeah. Could be a lot of departures this evening after the air show before the airport closes, and then, you know, in between.
Yeah.
And then certainly early tomorrow, depending on how long that storm holds off.
So. Yeah. Fun fact, of course, it's too late to do anything about it now, but I've always been less impressed with warbirds on a Saturday, because you see a lot of them are already pulling out and
that way. Okay. Out. So not necessarily less impressed with their performance, just lack of quantity.
Lack of quantity of some of the ships down there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of warbirds, and I don't know why this is, but I've been down there a few times. There's a noted lack of Grumman cats down there. Like anything. I don't know why, but it's there's just not a ton of those, you know, typical, see the, you know, wildcats and hellcats and stuff like that.
Sure.
No, just not too many down there.
Speaking of cats, have you seen the cat t-shirt from the, they're selling on Grounds this year?
I have stories
and
about that.
And a dog one.
Yes. So, I have cats. I have a certain daughter that loves cats.
Okay.
That is not here. So I was like, I'm going to get her a AirVenture shirt, and I'm going to get her the one that's it's
it says
a cat.
Meow, but it's spells it's something, or it's an acronym.
It's a Mike Echo Oscar whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, that way it's the NATO spell.
Yeah. And it's a cute shirt. I get that. So I saw this early in the week. I'm like, I'm going to have to stop by sometime. And
yeah,
pick them up.
She'd appreciate that.
So I stopped by there on Wednesday to the warehouse, and just so happened to run into one of the staff managers of the warehouse.
Sure.
And I'm like, hey, where's the cat meow AirVenture shirts? And she has this like exhausted look on her face. She's like, okay, we don't have any, but I have some coming. We blew out of those in the first day or two, and we don't have any at any of our sites. Don't bother walking around to the other ones. I have some more showing up at noon on Thursday, and it's going to be this color because they're out of that color but I'm going to have some more. Okay, fine. So I show up on like late afternoon on Thursday to try and pick these up. And she's like, okay, so we distributed them everywhere, and we're again out of this and this, except if you want this like women's small or women's 2X. That's the only thing I've got left in. It was men's 2X and women's small. That's the options that you have in these. But I have more coming in on tomorrow. We're printing them and getting them sent here as fast as we can. It's like the shirt that they can't keep in stock. Huh. Everybody's running around with these meow shirts on.
Andrew and I might have picked one of those up and didn't have any problems finding.
When?
What day did we go, Andrea?
I think we got it real early, like that Monday. Yeah. I didn't think it would sell out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I didn't either. I'm like, oh, cool.
And I saw a couple last night at the Four Corners. I feel like this is a game now. Like, can you find the cat shirt? Because then you should buy it and sell it.
Yeah, chime in and tell us where you've seen the cat shirt on the grounds. 920-550-1210. But yeah, Four Corners had some last night even. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Last night even. So.
Yeah. And so let me see here. That would be Friday. Yeah. So they had a delivery at noon on Friday. So there was a fresh drop.
Gotcha.
of meow shirts. And for the record,
fresh meow shirt droppings. Great.
Exactly.
The real important question is, did you get one?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay,
and good. Yeah, I got one. Aww. So did Peggy.
Story has a happy ending.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I saw Peggy running around with one on. What does the dog one say? Does it just say Delta Oscar Golf or?
Well, no, it's Whiskey Oscar Offer Oscar Foxtrot.
Ah, woof. Got it. Okay.
On the side. And you know, they think it's like a gold lab or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, in the traditional flight hats. And
yes.
So yeah, but for the record, I did get clarification. The dog shirts are not selling nearly as well. So if that has a cat versus dog message to it, yep. I don't know.
People are up there, and there's Peggy wearing one this morning. So
is he wearing? Oh, he is wearing.
He's wearing
the shirt.
The cat. Yes.
Nice.
He's wearing the cat shirt.
Get Peggy in here, and we'll get him on camera for the video stream.
Peggy, come on in a second. We need a fashion model.
Flash your shirt over here.
Hopefully
there you go.
Yeah.
Flash your shirt.
There you go. Right there. See? Cat shirt. For those watching the video stream, benefits watching the video stream, folks.
Yes.
YouTube.com/EA Radio. You can see Micah Echo Oscar Whiskey. Copy that over Air Venture shirts. So there you go.
This is evidently the hot shirt of the convention.
Yes. So thank you very much. It's our staff chef. Thank you, chef.
Yes.
Posing with the lovely t-shirt, the meow shirt.
But one, I did acquire one.
One thing I want to mention before we hit the break. So, some of our production staff, particularly our assistant production director, Megan, must have heard comments yesterday about folks wanting to listen to our show if they miss it. She put together a podcast of yesterday's show. You can supercut, essentially. You can go check it out at our website, earadio.net.
Is she going to package up the rest of the week, too?
I don't know that. Okay. I guess so. Okay. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think it's one and done, so
okay.
We shall see. Either way, you can check that out, earadio.net. Click on the archives. Go to Friday. Click on Friday's link and then go to the bottom of the page, and you will see that link.
Nice. So,
yes, Andrew, did you have something to add?
No, I feel like you were confused about something, but I was distracted by cat talk, so yeah. I couldn't actually answer your question, but I feel like your question was, is it there for every day? Yes, it is.
Oh, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are all loaded there because we're a rock star producer.
Yes.
Today's might Megan not be up until tomorrow, but we will also be loading Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at some point this week.
Nice.
There you go, folks. You can listen to us year round, I guess.
Yay.
Sorry. Very, very sorry. So,
right.
Blame the listener yesterday that wanted to hear that. So, coming up next, the Hal Bryan show, and probably a coworker.
Probably.
I guess we'll find out. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Side glances, Jim is taking chances. Tommy is wishing Jim keeps them on air. Barely inform us, they certainly bore us. A far better show is now hitting the air. On the air, Hal Bryan in the hosting chair, with a coworker to chat and share. Hal Bryan's on the air. Through all his trickery, the pre-flight is history, growing more tired of their constant abuse. His ego is growing, his jokes are all flowing. He'll take the whole show before the week is through. On the air, Hal Bryan's in the hosting chair, with a coworker to chat and share. Hal Bryan's on the air. Hal Bryan's on the air.
I had no idea you did karaoke, Hal. That's weird.
Wow.
It's great.
When did you have time to record that?
You know, it's for you guys, I'll make the time. Or some, another cruel AI doppelganger will make the time. I just want to say, as visions of gummy bears dance in my head, you have the technology to duplicate my voice. They've done this a couple of times.
I don't know what you're
already
talking about.
So you've, again, as I've said, identity theft is not a joke, except in this case, clearly it is. You have that technology to duplicate my voice. There's another technology out there called Auto-Tune. Okay, I could have been singing on key, which would have at least been a thoughtful gesture.
But could you? I mean, you know.
I just want to point this out.
We strive for accuracy here.
Okay? I see. The AI is really fairly accurate. The audio we fed it was on key, so
you see.
Do the math.
I guess so. Wow.
On key mixed with your voice.
Well, somewhere out there, all the guys in the a cappella group I had in high school where I sang bass are, they're disgusted. So, anyway, well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
As you can see, once again, I found a coworker.
I see that.
Somebody that I'm
find it, find it found wasn't the accurate word.
Okay, would you say Shanghai?
That's pretty close. And by the way, is the word hideous used very often in this room?
I think so. I think no more than once a minute.
Did you have any idea Hal was so talented?
Had I known what we were doing when he says, "Hey, I want you to come," I would have said, "What? No, it's too early in the morning."
Well, exactly.
Now, before we go too much farther down the rabbit hole, the coworker I brought is none other than, I'll embarrass him here, but he is the legendary Bud Davison, Home Builders Hall of Fame.
I had to write that out for him so he could remember what the word was.
Yeah. Legan Darley? What is that
again? That's what you were going to say, yes.
Exactly. And Bud is a prolific writer, an avid pilot, and an instructor with time and a ridiculously enviable number of types. Writes a column for Sport Aviation, writes a lot of features for Sport Aviation, and this week he and I are joined at the hip a bit in...
Oh, God, what an image.
finding stories for Sport Aviation. And thus ends the sincere part of my contributions to today's show. So let him have it, Bud.
Nice.
Okay, what am I supposed to do here?
Well, I guess you could say there's some of that going on. Maybe these guys have a question or
Well, I don't know. It's your show, but
I know it is my show. But I'm being very gracious right now. If you notice,
thank you.
Yes.
How kind.
I've been here a whole week with him, and that's the first time I've seen him be gracious.
Don't get used to it.
I'm not planning on.
You know, it's like this is suddenly turning into, you know, sort of the Dean Martin roast, and I accidentally brought Don Rickles with me, like not knowing what to expect. And,
yeah, but he was good looking.
Well, maybe he's better looking.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah. You didn't have to slide that in there, by the way.
Well, every man for
and
himself.
And the graciousness ends, obviously.
Yes, exactly.
So describe for us what the your column for Sport Aviation, your regular contributions.
It's a sort of a MECO blog, mechanical blog to a certain extent. Uh-huh. Just talk about stuff that got a lot of guys don't know how to do, welding, hammering rivets. And once in a while, it'll go off on a philosophical aspect.
Sure.
You know, what do you mean, sure?
I mean, sure. Why don't you turn around to the end of the table button, direct it over there again? Hey,
look, as the saying goes, I've suffered for my art. Now it's your turn.
Nice. What kind of things are we finding out here today that you're like, oh, I need to talk about that, or I need to do a story about that thing, or that kind of stuff? What are we finding?
Well, let me toss this on the table to give us a place to start, okay? I've flown ultralights. I'm type-rated in P-38s. Somewhere in between there.
Got it.
Okay?
From one to the other.
So maybe I should just start with, what's a Papa Bravo?
A Papa Bravo is probably the highest time pit special in the country.
Oh, really?
I've got, matter of fact, last week I logged my 8,000th hour in it.
Wow.
Teaching landings.
Huh.
And my airplane's got 9,100 hours, probably the highest time pit special in the country. And that's what I do 2 hours a day.
If I remember rightly, the pit special is a good one to try and teach a tail dragger on because it's a little squirrely, right?
Well, as Curtis Pitts said so eloquently when we were doing a thing together here, he says there's no such thing as a squirrely airplane, but there's a lot of squirrely pilots.
Yeah, okay, fair.
I wonder how many are in this room right now.
Yeah, right. I learned to fly in a Cessna 140, and they always said that that was a terrible plane to learn in because it's so tough to control on the ground. I'm like, I think that was perfect for me to learn in.
I was going to give you the flip on that because we owned a 140 for years. Mm-hmm. And it teaches you everything except how to handle really a bad tailwheel airplane because it's a terrific tailwheel airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, easy to fly, wonderful little airplane.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. The gear extensions are the cheater. I'm just saying.
Well, we had an A model. We had a 148.
Okay. Oh, so it already had the gear kicked forward.
Swept forward gear.
Yeah. Very nice. So, what you're working with Hal? So give me a synopsis on a project that you're connected at the hip, as you say.
I'm just going to step out.
You remember the word hideous I mentioned earlier?
I was going to say, make sure you know, we're on the radio, so watch your language.
Oh, I understand it. I'm from the Midwest, so I'm from Nebraska, so whatever I say is not going to be that offensive.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Unless you're from Oklahoma, then it's going to be very offensive.
But otherwise, kind of flat and mild.
Yeah, we already trash-talked the Sooners earlier today, so don't worry. Yeah. We've got you covered.
Well, that's where I graduated. I'm from Nebraska, but I graduated from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
I have to get a visa to go see my sister in Nebraska.
So, Bud, this week, I mean, every year at AirVenture, he's out there beating the bushes looking for feature stories. Certainly had ideas for his column, but in addition to the Shop Talk column every month in Sport Aviation, Bud writes for feature articles for Sport Aviation, feature articles for Vintage and Warbirds, about all kinds of stuff. And the man is has seen it all, done most of it. And has and I can't believe I'm about to pay him more compliments. An excellent eye for what makes a good story, and this year we've just been kind of doubling down, finding more stories, getting in contact with the owners, setting up interviews, all that kind of stuff, so that we've got some nice big buckets of content to draw from all three of those magazines for the coming year.
So with somebody here that has been there and done that, as you say, and have seen so many things, can you tell me about something that surprised you, something new, and you're like, oh, this is something I would not have expected?
Well, first of all, we should throw a number on the table.
Okay.
That number is 56.
Okay.
Okay? This is my 56th time here.
Dang.
Wow.
That's also my age, if you want to just put things in perspective there.
You had to slide that in. He looks so benign, and he's not. He's cruel as hell.
Yes, he does look like a benign tumor.
But the first four were to Rockford.
Yeah, right.
And two of those, I hitchhiked from college in Oklahoma up to... So I've been at this a long time.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, there's some milestone things back in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
when there's a lot of humor in terms of what you were building.
Mm-hmm.
There's one airplane I'm trying to, I can't think of the name of it right now, that a guy had designed and built and purposely, I'm certain purposely, I say that because he appeared sober for the whole time that he was here. To be as crude as he could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the aileron hinges were shoe tongues, leather shoe tongues. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, and it was so ridiculously crude, but he flew it in,
mm-hmm.
probably 500 miles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and didn't fall apart. And first of all, I should say that I'm at the very end of long COVID.
Uh-huh.
The brain block, the brain fog thing,
yeah.
is now sort of going away.
Mm-hmm.
It won't sound that way, you know, over here, but
yes.
So I can't remember the name of it, but mm-hmm. it was so ridiculous that one of the aerobatic gurus, big money, Pappy Spinks, bought it.
For
big money, just to have, just to make himself laugh when he walked in the office, I guess.
Sure.
But one of the surprises, I saw the Helldiver up there, Fagan's, and I automatically thought CAF because CAF had for many years the only one that was still flying.
Right.
I didn't realize there were two.
Right.
You know, it's not often you see one of those when you walk around the corner.
Yeah.
Well, and that one, Fagan's, made its first post-restoration flight just a few days ago. And I don't know this for certain, but it appears that the second flight was to here.
I was... That's almost a standard thing. Think
sure.
how many airplanes have been here, including the Blue 51B last year.
Oh, from last year, yeah.
That they were telling everybody, don't lean on the paint.
Yeah,
because it's pure, still curing.
Yep.
And you can smell it when you know, that's right. That's pushing it right to the limit.
Well, getting your aircraft to this field, I don't care if it's restored, craft like that, or your, new home built, or just your own personal aircraft to say I got it here, that is like the standard of achievement.
It is. It is also something that now that you're. Excuse me for a second. I'm going to write myself a note.
Okay.
Because that's a good subject for shop talk, because too many people push so hard at the last minute that they can cause themselves problems.
Yeah.
Skipping over stuff. It's like doing getting interrupted in the middle of a pre-flight.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure. And
that's a good idea.
Thank you very much. Do I have to credit you?
No, that's okay.
All right.
That's surprising.
It was a joint effort.
Bud, Hal. But I apologize for Hal taking so much of your time with his blabbering in the beginning. But Hal, you'll be back tomorrow.
The whole week has been that way.
I'm sure. It won't change anytime soon. This has been the Morning Pre-Flight.
Now, bud.
Hot starts up next. This is EA Radio.